guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Getting on with it all at the moment, as we all are, I'm sure. Hey, we've got some questions from the listeners. Big periods of transition in Tamaki Makaurau means some weird situations going on in people's workplaces. Somebody has asked, I've signed my contract before the sick days went up to 10 days, and so my contract still says I only have 5. Does the law automatically override this, or do I have to request to sign a new contract?
So the question is yes to both of those things, I would say. I'd say absolutely yes to the first thing, and strongly would suggest yes to the other thing. So you cannot contract out of the mandatory minimum legislation, so that what that means is no contract can mean that you get less than the minimum required by employment legislation. So that's a good thing. So say you have 5 days of sick leave in your contract. If 10 days is the minimum in employment legislation, you have 10 days of sick leave. But it's really good to get that in the contract regardless because, we're all hoping this doesn't happen. We have an ACT government with Prime Minister David Seymour, and they make sick leave illegal. Mm-hmm. It'd be really cool for you to have 10 days of sick leave in your contract.
Yes, I see.
So it's good to get your rights written down in a contract, even if it is the law, just because things can change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's good for you to have that there as a security. But, just because it's 5 days, you can't contract out of the minimum in the law. You can get more, so you can be advantaged. So if you have, like, 20 days of sick leave in your contract, that's awesome. But you can't have less.
Cool. That is good to know. I hope that has helped that person out. I'm sure it will have. We've got someone who said, I got hired for a job just before lockdown and they've been paying me the whole time very kindly, even though it's the sort of job that I can't do from home. They've recently asked me if I can go into their offices to do some odd jobs, which is fair enough since I've been basically getting all this money for nothing. But I actually don't feel super comfortable about going into the office in COVID times. I did it once, but I don't want to do it again, and I don't feel like I can say no because they've been paying me over the lockdown. What should I be doing?
So, I think the first thing to keep in mind is they probably are receiving the wage subsidy. So while it is good that they've been paying you, I don't think you need to feel too beholden to your employer for accessing the wage subsidy. But, you know, still, sounds like it's a good employer. It does sound like it's a reasonable request because you've said you possibly can't do the job if you don't come in. I think that the issue is, I totally understand this person's, like, discomfort, anxiety. I think we're all feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just the fact that COVID times are now, you know, normal times. So, once I think we move to the traffic light system, there's an expectation that, like, we will return to work, right? And so I don't see that this is a much different situation. I think if you're not feeling comfortable, I would reassess whether you actually want to stay in the job because, you know, like maybe you want to look for something that is remote that you can continue working remotely. I don't see that things are going to change radically in terms of the situation. And I think the expectation is that we basically just get back to normal, but, you know?
Yeah, it's a tricky time, eh?
And it's tricky, yeah.
Would you recommend that if this person, I mean, it sounds like they like the employer that they're working with here, would you recommend that they could maybe start a conversation with them about what the health and safety policy is going to look like with COVID being a new reality have a conversation about feeling a little bit uncomfortable in that space? Is that something that's like thing to bring up?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, you need to know what measures are in place to keep you safe and healthy, and I think that you're well within your rights to query that. And then in terms of, like, your discomfort, I think you should, you know, like, again, well within your rights to kind of communicate that as well. And you should be doing that. I guess the thing that I'm thinking of, if you can't do this job from home remotely, then, if those answers don't satisfy you, I think, you know, I would be thinking, like, do I want remote work at this point in time, you know?
Yeah,
that's because, you know, like, the reality is we're probably, we are, you know, most people are going to go back into the office, but, or into, back into work very soon, right? But we want to do that in a safe way, and we want to do that in a controlled way, and we want to make sure that everything is in place to make sure that, yeah, you're, like, actually, maybe the thing, maybe it would make, I mean, I don't know if this would make this person feel better, but, like, under the traffic light system, if people have to be vaccinated, would that, you know, perhaps be something like, if that were the case, would you feel more comfortable coming into the office? You could communicate that, you know? I think that's the kind of thing we should be having conversations with our boss.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a third question here, which is sits firmly in the COVID realm as well. Someone said that they work in a bar, for context. How are workers supposed to manage ensuring their place, store, cafe, bar, etc., has fully vaccinated patrons on top of everything else, especially when it's polarising and can get heated? I heard of a cake store in Auckland where a customer threw a cake at a worker because they told them to wear a mask. So that's a text from a listener here. What's some advice for this person?
Yeah, you know, I think this is one of the things that is going to be really, really unfair and inequitable about the traffic light system, is that a lot of the burden of compliance and of making sure the system works is going to fall on retail and hospitality staff. I think it's really unfair. And I think, like, firstly, I think this is an opportunity to organize these industries. Like, I actually think, you know, if you work in regional hospitality, now is the time to join your union so that you have a strong voice to advocate for yourselves. So you know, that you can push back a bit against unreasonable expectations, you know, in terms of you having to police and to make sure people are compliant with COVID regulations, because your employer should be making a plan. I don't know if that's hiring a security guard. I don't know if that's, you know, doing it themselves. I don't know what it is, but they need to make a plan, because, frankly, it's not your responsibility. It can't be your responsibility. It's just too much to put on, you know, on retail hospitality workers who already, you know, like, your jobs are hard. Your jobs are stressful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that there is going to be a lot of unreasonable expectations, and I think it is going to fall on retail and hospital workers unless they have a united, you know, voice and, demand better from employers, right? And frankly from the government as well, around how this is going to actually work. So now's a good time to join your union. I think it's absolutely reasonable to make it clear that, you know, if you do work in regional hospitality, to collectively make it clear to your employer that, you know, they need to work out how this is going to be managed, and that they can't just put it on to you.
And at the very, you know, at the very least, you should be empowered by your workplace to feel safe in that space as well. So whatever policy ends up looking like, you don't have to be there on your own trying to enforce it.
And it should, what the policy should look like should be informed by what you say.
Yes.
And it should be done in consultation with the people who are actually affected. So, you know, it shouldn't just be a top-down approach. Yeah, I just really think it's a really good time to join a union and to have that strong voice in your workplace right now, because I'd really hate to see that pushed onto retail and hospital workers. Like, I think you guys deal with enough. I am worried about that. I think a lot of the retail and hospital unions are worried about that too, and there's work going on. So
cool. Join your union. This is a good time to ask the question that we ask every now and then. If people aren't sure what union is their union, how do they find out about that, Justine?
You can go on the Council of Trade Unions website, and there is a little button there that says join your union. You go through all the various occupations, and they'll give you the union that's appropriate for you to join.
Oh, easy
as. In retail and hospitality, it's typically either ITU, First Union, or Unite Union.
Cool.
So those are the three main unions. First deals mostly with retail, ITU often in hospitality, Unite as well in hospitality. So go ahead, you know, if you're not in a unionized workplace, you can choose. And if you all join the same union, it's pretty easy to... Well, not pretty easy, actually. It's quite difficult. It's difficult to unionize your workplace, but very worth it. Definitely have a look at that. And now is a good time.
Now is a good time, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Justine. Always some very wise advice. I hope you have a lovely rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Kia ora. Sounds great.
Ka kite.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you.